saying this is God's work doing this. I've been working with this question for quite a while in my life, even back through the RU program and everything else. We always ask, why do things happen? And I finally got an opportunity to preach it, so I hope you gained something from this lesson today. We will be in 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll be in that chapter, chapter 5, and also in Romans. We're going to jump around a little bit. Okay, that wasn't me. Thank you. Why things happen. In 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 3 through 8, which we read this morning, says, "Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, we are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Let us pray. Dear Lord, once again, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today to worship you. We just pray that you will be with all those that are not here today, that are traveling, Lord, or sick, or unable to attend, Lord. We pray that you give them mercy in ways that they need it, Lord. We pray also that you will be with me, fill my mouth with your words, and help me to deliver this message. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now this isn't a not going to answer everybody's question. But why things happen, the way I look at things now, why things happen to me, is, or our loved ones even, we're all God's children. And as being a parent myself, when I raised my kids, my wife helped quite a bit. You know, you raise your kids up, you teach them how to eat, you teach them how to use the bathroom, you teach them everything, you teach them right from wrong, you help them to get an education, right? You do your best to do that, and that's what we do for our children, our earthly children. But oftentimes we forget that we're God's children, no matter how old we are, no matter if we're 100 years old, no matter if we're a newborn, we're all God's children, and God teaches us the same way that we taught our own children. So if you think of trials and tribulations and things like that, that God is teaching us through these, that's God's way of teaching. So, just sort of keep that in mind as we're going through this. Now, I've got 20 minutes and I've got 20 pages of notes, so I should be done about 20 after. Okay. The first thing we ask when something happens is, how do I handle it? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for grace, that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what that verse means is, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Back in the biblical times, they always wore their clothes loose so that they could run or they could be ready to fight in battle, and they could move real easy. So they left their clothes a little bit loose, because if you wear a tight-fitting dress or a tight-fitting coat or tight-fitting pants, you can't move so too fast. But if they're looser, you can move around a lot faster. So what they're saying here is, gird up the loins of your mind. Keep your head straight. Keep your mind in your head and keep it straight. Keep focused on the Lord when things happen. Be sober. That means be vigilant. Be vigilant to different things that happen in your life. And when things happen, we all know, and we all, being Christians, we have that hope. It's not really a hope. We know for sure that when we pass on, we're going to go to heaven, right? Amen. And in heaven, everything's perfect. And we have the grace of God. And we know that God loves each and every one of us. Like we love our own children. He loves us that much and even more. And God's going to take care of us. So we have to keep our mind straight. And the first thing that we need to do when troubles come is praise the Lord and pray to the Lord. Thank the Lord for, I know it seems hard, thank the Lord for something bad, right? But through those bad times, the Lord's teaching and making us a stronger Christian, just like we teach our children. I know sometimes we wonder, why me, Lord? Why is all this stuff happening to me? But a lot of times I've heard it say, why not me? You know, I've gone through a lot of different afflictions in my life. A lot of them self-inflicted afflictions. And I ask the Lord sometimes, why me? But every time I go through one of those afflictions, I come out the other side. I'm a stronger Christian for it. Okay, what is the purpose of these things that we go through, these trials? It's the first thing I got is to bring things to the surface we need to deal with. Because if you're like me, a lot of times something will happen in my life and I don't want to deal with it right away. I can't deal with it right away. So I shrub it underneath the rug. But the Lord brings these trials to us so we can bring those things out and deal with them. Because after we deal with them, we feel a lot better about those. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, actually. Says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, whom resteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So sometimes we do things in our life that we say, oh, that's not bad. That's not a sin. Everybody's doing that. It's not a sin. But if we are sober and vigilant, we know that some of those things are sins. Because the devil is always attacking Christians. The devil doesn't want to bother Joe Smoe down the road here that's a good guy. You know, he's not going to gain anything from him that never goes to church or never proclaims God or anything. But the devil can gain a whole lot if he can get under our skin and make us act like him. That's why we have to be so vigilant in our lives. And that's why sometimes we have bad things happen. Because sometimes, like I said, some bad things that happen in your life are self-inflicted. It's like when a little kid, when we're teaching our children, and we tell them not to touch that stove because that stove's hot, and you turn around and you think, yeah, okay, they're not going to touch that stove now because I told them not to touch the stove, right? You turn your head and what do? Wah! They touched the stove and they got burnt. It's just like in our life. God will tell us not to do something and we don't think it's that bad. We don't think God's looking or nobody's looking at us. So we'll go do that. And that's not right. That's why we have to be so vigilant. We can rest in our faith. And we can't rest in our faith and think that none of this stuff that happens in the world can happen to me, because every single thing that happens in the world can happen to you, even though you are a Christian. Even though you are a Christian, you can become an alcoholic and still be a Christian. You can use drugs and still be a Christian. You're not following what God wants you to do, but you're still a Christian, because once we accept Jesus Christ as being our Savior, he never takes it back. Right? So, if you get off track in your life and you're doing something, because we don't just jump off the wagon, as they say in some circles. You go a little bit at a time. You try this. Okay, that ain't bad. So you do it again. That ain't bad. Pretty soon, you're way over here doing this bad stuff, and you don't even realize it. Until hopefully your brother Christian will come and grab you and talk to you about it. Or God will come and get you straightened out. What do they call that? A Jesus spanking? Okay, the second thing is to test our faith. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. To test our faith, he's going to try our faith. Well, to test our faith, what happened to me just recently? Now, I use myself to show points. When Rocky was in his accident, it was a very trying time. And I got home Friday after they said that he was going to leave the hospital on Friday after getting his surgery on Wednesday, which is unheard of. They came in and they said he was doing very well for what he's been through. And I'm sitting over there in the chair going, and I didn't say it out loud, and I guess I should have, but I said, yeah, that's the power of prayer working in him. And when I got home Friday night, I was tired out, I was worn out, and angry. I was upset because Rocky got in his accident. I wasn't upset at Rocky because things happen. The person I was upset at was God, because how could God allow this to happen to my son? Right? And God and I, we have a different relationship. almost like husband and wife. And I learned this early on in my walk with the Lord. When things don't go right, I need to get that stuff out of me. I give it to the Lord. I yell at the Lord sometimes, believe it or not, yes. But the Lord takes that, and just like our children, when they're throwing a temper tantrum, we got a little one that's 18 months old now. She don't get her way. She lays on the floor and kicks her feet, bangs her head on the floor. That's like what I'm doing to God. God lets us go through. And he says, okay, Rick, he's my son too. I can protect him better than you can. I know what's better for him than what you do. Just like with all your stuff, we don't understand right now why this happened. Sometimes God doesn't allow us to understand why things happen. It's not in his plan to allow us to understand everything that happens in our life. Other times God does. He allows us to see why things happen. In my own life, some of the stupid stuff I've done, God allowed me to run a Reformers Unanimous program here for about 3 years. And with my expertise, it was only because of the Lord that I could do it. We did, through the Lord, help a lot of people. So sometimes the Lord will show you why. Other times it's not for us to know why. We just have to trust the Lord that he knows what's better for us than what we do. Even when we don't like it. Because when we were little and our parents gave us a spanking, we didn't like it too well, did we? Okay, now I got lost. He wants to test our devotion to him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Sounds a lot like trusting in the Lord, right? Humble ourselves. Bring ourselves down low. Don't try to put ourselves up high as God is, or even try to get up there. Because our best to the Lord, can anybody tell me what our best is? Our best to the Lord is as dirty rags to the Lord's purity. What we try to do will never match what the Lord is. So we got to humble ourselves to the Lord. Submit yourself to the Lord. And under the mighty hand of God, what they were talking about here was these afflictions that were happening to people. They thought they were the only ones having these afflictions. But these afflictions happen to everybody. Not just you, not just us. Everybody in the world, saved and unsaved. Baptist and Catholic, and go on and on. It happens to everybody. And when we humble ourselves so that God may exalt you in due time, he'll bring you out of it. He will lift you up, help you get through those times, if you allow him to. That's why you got to humble yourself. To allow God to use you. I got to speed up here a little bit. I'm halfway through page one. Okay, to conform us to his likeness of his son. That's why we go through trials. And this is God's ultimate goal, is to conform us to the likeness of his son. We can work hard at trying to be perfect, but nobody on this earth anymore is perfect. Somebody might claim they are, but they're not telling you the truth. Romans 12, verse 2 tells us, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." There we go to be not conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. Be transformed. The renewing of your mind. You get your mind renewed by going through different things. A kindergartner gets his mind renewed when they get in first grade. They get taught more. And when they get in college, they really get their mind renewed, right? And by going through trials, we'll get closer to where God is. Now, God designs each trial to fit each individual. So everybody's trials aren't going to be quite the same. Trials are progressive. Sometimes you go through a little trial, then they get a little bit stronger. The next trial will be a little bit stronger, because the Lord knows how much you can handle. And God is in control of every... I'm going to speed up here a little bit. God is in control of every trial. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Okay? So, going through temptations, they're progressive. Each time we go through one might be a little bit stronger than the last. God and going through temptation or trials are God's way of building character in our life. Also, to build our faith and trust in Him. We're to learn from our trials to be better Christians. And when I say learn from your trials to be a better Christian, this has happened to me. And I know there's other people in here that it has happened to. When you go through something in your life, you're more prepared to be able to talk to somebody that is starting to go through that. Whether it be cancer, whether it be a disease, whether it be loss, God's preparing us to be able to help other people also. Not just Christians, but non-Christians alike. You have that opportunity, because through your trials, you've gained that wisdom. And God will give you the courage to use that wisdom when you need it. And why does God pick certain people? Because God is looking for people to represent Him in the right way through times of trouble. So He knows how we're going to react before we do. He knows that Miss Peggy, she's still praising the Lord. I can guarantee it today. I haven't seen her in a couple days or a couple weeks. But I know she's still praising the Lord. Okay? I still praise the Lord. And I know other people with afflictions still praise the Lord and are thankful for what they have. That's why sometimes God chose you, because he knows you're going to take that and you're going to turn it in. You have it inside you to turn it into a positive. And the last thing you want to ask yourself when something happens to you and you're going through a trial, ask yourself, do I want God to clean up my life and strengthen my faith so I can better serve him? Because that's what each one of these trials do for us. They strengthen our faith. They help us to clean up our lives and help us to be able to serve the Lord better. Thank you. I'm not going to do the...